actions of God. Actions of God. This is the title. And the underlying premise of Pesach. And once again, we have reached this time. When we are made to pause, to celebrate and remember all that Hashem had done for our forefathers. The Pesach story had been made famous mostly by documentaries and films that had been made, each telling a cinematic version of the story. However, this is not just a celebration, a party, so to speak. A time of rejoicing, where it's euphoric. But it also has morbid topics, such as the plagues that were inflicted upon the Egyptians. We dip our finger in wine and recite each plague. Why do we do this? It seems such an unusual tradition from the outside. It might even be seen as witchcraft-esque, as if we're doing some kind of spell. Primarily, however, and I'm sure some may hate this idea, we take a moment from our rejoicing and mourn for the Egyptians who were afflicted by the plagues. Wine in Judaism is a symbol of joy. So we let a drop of our joy fall for the sake of those who are taken by Hashem's hand as a result of Pharaoh's stubbornness. The Tanakh backs up this idea. Mishlei says, if your enemy falls, do not exult. If he trips, let your heart not rejoice. And Devarim teaches us, you shall not abhor the Egyptian, for you are a stranger in that land. One could say, so they put us to slavery. Our enemies tried to kill us. When we fled Egypt, when we looted Egypt, were they kind to us? No, they sent an army after us. How many refused Pharaoh's order? No one refused. Because everyone in Egypt amassed against Israel. You imagine it. 400 odd years in slavery. Hard work. Harder at the end. And when you finally escape, after all the plagues that Mitzrayim went through, they still yet chased after Israel to kill them. And here we have to mourn what happened to the Egyptians. The justice which Hashem brought upon Egypt, the war against the idols of Egypt, that righteous judgment, yet we mourn it. We don't mourn the justice, we mourn the life taken. But yet, Mishle continues, lest Hashem see it, that is, our gloating over our enemy, and be displeased at his anger, his wrath, and avert his wrath from him. In other words, God will turn his anger on that person. Why would God do that? God's wrath is on your enemy. And then you say, ha ha, look at him. He's fallen so short. Finally, he's got to what he deserved. He used to be this height, now God's turned him into a toad. Whatever the punishment is. And here God says, when he sees you, or I, making fun of such a person, his anger will be diverted, be averted from that person, and onto the gloaty, let's say. Why? Because at that point you see yourself greater than the person being punished. Someone who gloats over another is making an assumption within themselves that they are better than the other. In that person's mind, they are perfect and floats high up to the heavens. Trust me, I've been there. I'm not preaching from, you know, a high point myself. And they float up high without even having to think. I've been doing this for 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, a year. You know, even the young think they know everything. Trust me, I've been there. First year coming to Judaism, I thought I was a scholar. You know, at what point do you know everything? Is it the first year? Is it the second year? Is it the third year? Mammy's fourth year. The answer is never. And if we tell ourselves we know everything, then we are just as how I described. Then we think we have the ultimate knowledge. We can go to the park and feed dogs. We don't need to study. We can but hold the Torah and know what it says. Yes. Some people have such a gift. Sarcasm is a wonderful thing. In other words, they're elevating their own ego. They're saying, I'm the maker, I'm the boss, I know everything, I'm this, I'm that, I'm great, they're small, I'm tall, they're short, whatever. And it's important, it might seem minor, this idea that someone who thinks themselves greater than the other, you know, it's in their own bubble. You know, as long as they're thinking it, you know, it's up to them. But this is how Hasatan fell in the first place. He said, I'll take over God's throne. Why did he say that? Because he thought himself able. He thought he can do it. He thinks he can do it. He thinks himself greater than God. And whenever someone believes that, then the darkest pit of sin that that one can ever be in. It is dear impossible to turn back a person that low. And Hashem hates such pride, because we tend to forget it is not because of our supposed greatness that we were rescued from Egypt or even from previous states of being, i.e. sin. It's not because of our greatness that he would give the land, but because of Hashem's faithfulness to our forefathers, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. As it says, it is not because of your virtues and your righteousness that you will be able to possess their country, but it is because of their wickedness that your God, Hashem, is dispossessing those nations before you. In order to fulfill the oath that Hashem made to your fathers, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So such an attitude of gloating will lead a person astray from God and down their own path to death. So over what should we rejoice? Since I may have given people a complex. I suggest this woman should be like as Yitro. Or be like that of Yitro, as it says. And Yitro rejoiced over all the kindness that Hashem had shown Israel when delivering them from the Egyptians. Yitro didn't say, ha, look at Egyptians falling so easily. Such a great nation. All the soldiers died. But he rejoiced over the righteousness of Hashem. He done all that for his people. He is at work within the nation. We rejoice over what Hashem has done. We do not rejoice over the suffering of our enemies, because they too are human and feel pain, just as you and I do. If we lose that mutual respect, then we are no better than the wild animals. Or worse, an animal knows it cannot be like a human. It knows its place. A lion cannot suddenly think, I can walk on two legs and wield guns, I'll take over the world. Unless you're watching some Disney program. Movie. However, humans can think themselves as gods. Think about it. The animals, they live their life. They know their place. Cats know their cats. Dogs know their dogs. A dog doesn't wake up, the next day goes meow. Some people have heard dogs go meow. There we go. But it's new to me. A cat doesn't wake up in the morning and go woof. It knows its place. Yet we humans, primarily if they're leaders of nations, tend to get a god complex. Look at Pharaoh, Pharaoh. Every Pharaoh down the line was considered gods after they died. Resurrection and more resurrection. Who is greater, the animal or the human? That is today's lesson for us. Do we stand and watch our fellow Jew struggle and say to ourselves, look how far he or she has fallen. Look at his or her sins. They should be doing this. She should be doing that. Because what we're really saying to ourselves, I do that, I do this. My mitzvahs are mitzvot are through the roof. I'm perfect. I have no issues. Comparing ourselves to them as though we are somewhat greater. Each person has their dark path to follow. Just as our fathers came out of Mitzrayim, they did not come out shiny. They spent years wrestling, struggling with the culture of which they came out of. If we were to leave here, mostly speaking for myself, but move to Israel, I would struggle with the culture. I would struggle. They're pretty rude. They don't move. They shout at you. I remember going to one of these stands for food. And the guy was standing shouting at me for 20 minutes, asking me what I want because he couldn't understand what I was saying. A female came and stand next to me. She was waiting in line and his voice got louder. But you don't get such attitude here in Scotland or Britain. It's all polite. You're told, smile to the customer, be polite, have good energy, welcome them in, upsell, but be nice about it. And Israel was like, next. What do you want? Hurry up. You know, ordered yet. You've been here for half a second. So you see, these are people who's been immersed in the culture of Egypt. And they got yanked out of Egypt. Do you think the Jews in that day were expecting Moshe Rabbeinu to appear from the desert? Do you think they had foresight before it? They left as soon as it happened. They plundered the Egyptians. The Egyptians who joined Israel left with them. And that was their journey. Well, it began or it was halfway coming out of that dark path, away from all that sin. When I work in the kitchen, I go in the morning, it's dark. Whenever I leave the first time, it's like getting flashbanged. because I've been in a dark place. There's no real light. There's just artificial light. I leave through a fire exit and my retinas burn. You ever go to wash your hands and you use boiling water, what happens? It's too warm. You remove your hands. That's what it was like for them. They were wallowing darkness, now they came into light. It was a dark and horrible place, full of sin, where our fathers so innocent leaving that country, if it were not for the blood, mm-hmm. on the doorposts, Hashem would have taken their firstborn. Yeah. Being Jewish, or being slightly connected to a Jewish person, be it genetically or not, does it save you? But salvation is through the Jews. That is through their God. Our God. Not a three-headed monster. Of confusion. Trust me, trying to learn about the Trinity is like me trying to work a Rubik's Cube. Because it makes no sense from a Judaic point of view. Because God is one. He is Echad. He has manifestations. But these manifestations are not individual gods. And if we should walk away with anything, that should be what Hashem has done for us. The goodness He has done in our lives, not just our forefathers. Because He could have just left us to our sin, to that dark place. He could have just left us in Mitzrayim. He could have said, well, you know, it's nice that they called out to me a couple of times, but I think I'll just leave it. They had 400 years to call out to me, and they waited all this time. I'd pick it up the phone. Nope. But He didn't. He listened to our fathers as they cried out to Him. Mm-hmm. He saw their suffering. Is that not a thing to be thankful for? Amen. Think about your life. I'm not going to speak into it because I don't want to do that. But you think about your life, the moments, the dark moments that you have been in. Look into those moments. Do you see God at work there? Do you see yourself getting through those moments? And then Hashem being there. His actions are what matters. For it was He who rescued Israel from Mitzrayim. It was not Moshe alone. God paid attention to His people. It was from the pit of darkness Hashem listened to us. The people weren't all of a sudden those tzaddikim. They weren't all shiny, they weren't all perfect. But it was in our lowest moments God heard us. And it's important that we cry out to God in times of distress. Because He saves. He saves us from the pit of darkness. He sends a saviour. He sent Moshe Rabbeinu, and soon he will send the Mashiach. This is what we should rejoice over. His work in the lives of a people and a nation near and dear to him. At the heart of all, at the heart of Pesach, rejoice in the actions of God. Amen.
Amen.